Amen. I have no doubt whatsoever that the presence of the Lord is here. Amen. Glory to God. I want you to bring out your Bibles or read from the screen, if you will, while we all remain standing. The book of Judges, Judges 11. And we want to read from verse 1 through to verse 11. Judges 11, from verse 1 through to verse 11. Some of you might have heard me preach from this very scripture. And some of you might not have, but you will today. Because I believe God has a message for somebody. Amen. All through the week, my meditation was not on this at all. But everything changed yesterday night. Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor. And he was the son of an harlot. And Gilead begat Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bare him sons. And his father's and his wife's sons grew up. And they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him. And it came to pass in the process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, did not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are ye come unto me now when ye are in distress? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon, and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, if ye bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, the Lord be witness between us, if we do not so according to thy words. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. May God bless his word. And please be seated in the presence of your Father in Jesus' name. As you are sitting down, I want you to turn to the person on your right and your left and say to them, I am born to reign. Come on, say it like you mean it. Shout it on the mountaintop. Let the devil hear it. I am born to reign. When God looks at you, God, your maker, your creator, when God looks at you, he sees what and who he has created you to be. Not who you are now. You are paying attention to who you are now, but God is seeing who he made you to be. Praise the Lord. Well, this is one of the most encouraging stories in the Bible, and there are lessons to be learned from it. If you stopped at the beginning, the first sentence, now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and you think you know his story, you are only concentrated on the fact that he's a man of valor. But you did not know how he became a man of valor. God called his hand. God told us who he made him to be before we knew his story. Praise the Lord. Now, other people around you might not know who God has really made you to be. And guess what? Because they don't know who you are, because they don't know who God has created you to be, they begin to mistreat you. They begin to deal with you anyhow. They begin to treat you like a nobody. We heard of Jephthah when we began to know his story, that actually his mother was a woman that every man around town slept with. People pay her for sex. She was a prostitute. In this age and time, some prostitutes get pregnant whereby they don't even know who the father of their baby is. Thank God that a man like Gilead rose up to his responsibility. Many men will not out of shame. He brought Jephthah home. Now the man now married probably later or before he had a wife before the incident or later. That's not the issue here. But Jephthah was stigmatized at home and outside the home as the son of that woman. When he was in school, when the bullies would bully him, they bully him simply based on the fact that his mother was a prostitute. They called him a bastard. They called him a nonentity. Even his teachers called him a dullard. They said he could not amount to anything. Then his brothers grew up and they connived. Has anybody connived against you before? You know how it is. When they connive against you, when it's 1 against 5, 1 against 10, and this is not about kung fu fighting. Hallelujah. They connived and said, this guy has no right in our father's house, as though their father was not his father. So, the Bible said, they pushed him out. They thrust him out. They didn't say leave. They actually took everything he had, threw it out, and kicked him out. Get out of here. You are nobody. Nobody reckons with you. You can't even speak good English. Many times when people mistreat us, we want to fight them, right? We want to argue with them. We want to abuse them. Jephthah did none of this. He left. The Bible said he actually ran. He ran away. He moved away. If I'm not celebrated here, if I'm not appreciated here, let me leave. Praise the Lord. Fighting, arguing, abusing is not always the best response in situations. Praise the Lord. Like David, Jephthah was humiliated in public, disgraced by something that was not his fault. It wasn't his fault that his mother was a harlot. We're not here to judge Jephthah's mother, but we're here to learn a lesson from the life of Jephthah. This story never ceases to encourage and amaze me. People that were meant to love you abandoned you. People you should have cried on their shoulders thrust you out. We don't want to have anything to do with you. We are not in the same class. Who are you? Who is your father? Who is your mother? You're a foreigner. You're an alien. Like you came from space. Praise the Lord. Somebody mentioned the situation in South Africa this morning. It's heartrending. The same South Africa that other African nations rose up for during the apartheid and fought for them. Let me tell you something. Never you blame anybody for your failure. Never you blame anybody, not even the devil, for your shortcomings. If you fail, it's your fault. These guys in South Africa, they refuse to go to school. I've been there more than 5 times. I've seen them. They like drugs. They like to loaf around. They like to be in gangs. But now some people came and saw opportunity. If they leave, does that mean they'll have jobs? Does that mean they are qualified for the jobs? No, they are not. Right now, Mugabe is regretting sending out the white people from their farms. He's regretting it today. He said they shouldn't have done that. Because sending those people away has not improved Zimbabwe. And then you put it on racism. Why don't we turn the table around and get the best out of the qualified people to improve ourselves? Or learn from somebody who knows better than you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, you see, because people abandon you does not mean you should abandon yourself. They don't like me, so I'm sure something is wrong with me. No, there's nothing wrong with me if you don't like me. There's something wrong with you. Because you can't see what is in me. You can't see what God has put inside me. Then it's my responsibility to make sure I dig out what God has put inside me. Hallelujah. Abandonment by people who ought to love you does not change the plans. It does not change the purpose of God for your life. It doesn't. It doesn't. They were not there when God created you. They were not the one who raised you up. Even if they did, it's a privilege for them. Praise the Lord. But you know, the ways of God are past finding. Yes. The ways of God are past finding. Sometimes God will allow those he wants to exalt to be humbled, so that you can appreciate the position when you get there. So that you know that it was not by your might. You know that it was not by your power. Then you know that it was by the grace of God. If not for God. So sometimes he allows us to go through those situations or circumstances to humble us. Hallelujah. You know, I said earlier, if whatever God has deposited in you fails, it's nobody's fault. It's not even the devil's fault. Can I say something to somebody here? Like my daughter will act, and I'm going to do it like that. She'll do like this. Stop blaming the devil! Devil did this, devil did that, devil did this. You remember what I've told you many times? The day will come when you might come face to face with the devil in the presence of God. Yes, he's a father of lies. But that day will say, you are the one who was lying. Because I wasn't even there. I wasn't there. I was in Angola on that day. Because Satan can't be in two places at the same time. He can't be in two places at the same time. Praise the Lord. Jephthah proved it to us by his life. Hallelujah. That it's only God that can decide your outcome. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, only God can decide your outcome. So if it is God, then you better agree with him and decide with God together. Praise the Lord. Don't put the outcome of your life in somebody else's hand. Don't do that. Your life is too important for you to put in somebody else's hand. And then you're allowing them to decide your destiny for you. Don't do that. So in case anything happens, it doesn't work, so that you can take the blame and not somebody else. Praise the Lord. Everything Jephthah's brother saw in him was nothing. But Jephthah refused. Somebody say refuse. He refused to consider himself as nothing. Praise the Lord. The only time you become nothing is when you agree with people who say you are nothing. The only time you become nothing, the only time you become a nobody is when you agree with the people who say you are a nobody. Praise the Lord. Oh, I'm too old now. Abraham was 79 when life really started for him. 79. Mandela came out of prison an old man. He could have said, well, I've fought enough. I've fought a good fight. Let me go and relax. I think I'm done. My bones are weak. No, he didn't. He said, I'm going for it. If he did not rise up himself, people won't raise him up.
That's just the truth.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you allow people and circumstances to define you, regrets and pity will take the place of your dreams. If you allow your environment to define you, well, Pastor, you don't understand. Where I live is a ghetto. Then go through it and get to where you are going. Amen? It's a ghetto to get to. I live in the projects. That doesn't mean you should be a project. Hallelujah. I read a story of a boy, a man now, when he was born. You won't believe this. He was born in a toilet to be flushed away. But because God had a destiny for him, when you see him and he did not tell you his story, you will envy him. But then when he tells you, you know what? I was actually going to be flushed. But they brought me out of feces and every other thing and washed me. And God worked on me. And I agreed with the work of God. And here I am, a success. Praise the Lord. So how you were born, where you were born, has no relevance to your relevance. Praise the Lord. It has no relevance to your relevance. Amen? When you agree with people who say, there's nothing about you, then you have lost the battle of life. You lost the battle of... May you not lose the battle of life. In Jesus' mighty name. Let me talk about regret a little bit. The characteristics of regret is to looking back. Always looking back. When you say, I regret, then you are saying, you know what? I've stopped looking forward and I'm now looking back. Regret always look back. Some people are still living in regret today. They still do. I never thought I would mention this, but I have a friend. He's still my friend. We went through the same circumstances together. When you see him sitting down alone, every time, he's always like, That is still affecting him till today. He was in a situation, his wife left him. He's not being able to improve his life. If it were me, good riddance to bad rubbish. Hallelujah. I don't think any woman should kill my destiny. I don't think any man should kill your destiny. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? My wife's destiny is bigger than me. Can I tell you again? Your destiny is bigger than your husband. Huh? I was meditating during this past few days. I almost turned it into a message. Behind closed doors. Wow. Only God knows what goes on behind closed doors. In many marriages. Let me remind you, I'm a spokesperson for women. Amen. It breaks my heart when I see men maltreat their wives. It breaks my heart. Behind closed doors. Women are mutilated. Abused emotionally. Abused mentally. Abused physically. Today is not a day for that kind of message. Praise the Lord. Stop blaming your past for your failures today. Stop blaming your past. Oh, if I had, if only, or if only, you can't go back. Time is like ice cubes. It melts. It's like eggs. When it falls and breaks, that's all. You can't scoop it again. Tell your neighbor, move on. You're not saying it like I thought you should. Yesterday is no longer great. Amen. If it was, today won't come. Amen. Make the most of today. Make the most of today. Make the most of today. Hallelujah. Then worry. We've talked about regret. Then worry. What does worry do? Worry looks around in fear. Fear. It is fear that makes a man worry. And we forget in scriptures, God has given us fear not for every day. 365 fear nots in the Bible. I don't think that was a coincidence. One for every day. When you wake up, God is saying today, fear not. So that you can move forward in life. So that you can approach your target. Fear not. Don't be afraid because, oh, I don't have this. And for most of us in this part of the world, especially those of us who are aliens, according to the American government, everybody's a foreigner, but the government is an alien. So, they differentiate you from every other person. Huh? Oh, I don't have papers. And so, you don't even know that whether it's what you will do that will gain you recognition to have papers. I have a pastor friend in Texas. He started the church and he doesn't have papers. The first day they went to open the door of the church, there was a dead body in front of the door. It was a crime ravaged area. I've been there. He opened the church. The first instruments and stuff they gathered together, they came in, broke the door and robbed it. He said, you know what? These are the people God has called me to. He stayed there. He didn't leave. He had every reason to leave. He began to do as God would lead him, feeding them. They will come with their weed. He will feed them. He will pray for them. He will dance in front of them. He will tell them to call Jesus. Then immigration came and said, bro, you have no papers. It's time for you to leave. Guess what? It was the same people that stood for him and said, this one is not going anywhere. They now went into the catalogs of all the things that he had done. The few things he was able to do with no resources in the community. And the government said, you know what? This is the kind of person we want here. They gave him his green card. He's a citizen today. Praise the Lord. So don't be afraid.
The odds might be against you like it was against Jephthah. Yes, you are born to reign, but you have to earn the throne. Did you hear me? You were born to reign, but you have to earn the throne. Some of us don't want to earn it. We don't want to earn the applause. We just want to be applauded. We don't want to do anything. Our Christianity is resurrection Christianity. No fellowship of suffering. But there's no Christianity without fellowship of suffering. Anybody that tells you when you come to Jesus Christ, everything will be fine, they lied. They lied. Everybody say they lied. Don't let anybody sell Jesus Christ to you like that. He says, when you pass through fire, I will be with you. He didn't say you won't pass through fire. Did you hear me? He said you will pass through fire, but I will be with you there.